And the nice thing, if you're using TypeScript, it's all within the same model. So you can generate types from your backend to your frontend without having to do a lot of fancy stuff. Instead, you can just share the types through there instead of having to generate them or sending them over an API call.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on @JSWorldConf on Twitter. Hello. Welcome back. Back again, yes.
Yeah.
With another speaker, Roy Derks.
Hello.
Hello, Roy. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
How's everything going? How was the talk?
Yeah, it was good, I think. Yeah. Always nice to be at the end of the day because then you can see the all the other talks and you can sometimes get some inspiration from it.
So how were you inspired by the other talks?
Well, I think I was talking about Next.js and we had Michael Jackson talking about Remix, which is, there's some sort of competitors in a way. So it's always nice to see people talking about different things and then trying to use that energy for your own talk.
So how did you apply that energy in your own talk today?
Well, I didn't try to talk about runtimes because you already did. So I mostly focused on some functionalities that I believe you have API routes in Remix, but at least one of the strong powers from Next.js is the API routes, which is a new thing.
Cool. So we were going through the brief bio of your talk, Killing BFFs with GraphQL.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would you mind explaining a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird if you say it that way, like killing BFFs. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we
asked. Yeah, we were reading this, going like, "Oh, killing BFFs with GraphQL. Well, this must be some seriously heavy talk in here."
Yeah, there's going to be.
Would you mind explaining a little bit more?
Yeah, of course. So a BFF is a backend for frontend. So imagine you have an API you want to connect in your client, so maybe a website or a mobile application. Mm-hmm. Instead of connecting that API directly, you create a backend for frontend in which you can do all sorts of things with the API. So if your API is used by multiple websites or multiple applications, you can create a BFF in which you'll normalize all this data. So it's perfectly in the same shape and form you want for your application.
So that's the BFF would then be specific to your application.
Yeah. So imagine you have a large company with multiple applications. Then every team could have its own BFF, in which they will make sure that the API has data in the exact format that they wanted in that application.
So one data source that exposes the data raw, basically,
mm-hmm.
and then the BFF normalizes that to a format that's application specific.
Yeah, definitely. Because you want to keep your front end lean. And then you need to make sure that you don't do all these different requests to get different sources of data and merge them together. It will get messy, so you want to keep your front end simple. So you create a BFF in order to do all the data fetching for you.
Right. So the concept of BFF, I think, is known to quite a few developers, also a lot of developers that are new to BFFs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we started our interview with, hey, the bio we got on the talk was killing BFFs with GraphQL. Now I'm pretty curious as to the GraphQL part and why is it going to kill a BFF?
I think the talk was called Killing BFFs with Next.js and GraphQL.
Next.js, sorry. I have to say this right. With Next.js and GraphQL.
Yeah, some subtle nuances. No, so with Next.js, you can take this backend for frontend and from a different service or a different API that you would run, you can take it inside of your Next.js application. So you don't have to create a different API. Instead, you can just use the power of Next.js to make this backend for frontend run on API routes.
So basically, you would then have a single code base that includes both the BFF and your frontend.
Single code base and single runtime.
Well, that's an interesting concept. So what was the problem that you were trying to solve that resulted in having that the API routes in Next.js?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so before you would need to create a different service, a different API. And if you're a full stack engineer, you're always working with an API, with a front end, and you're trying to bring these things together. And these usually are different code bases, different repositories, they have different build pipelines. So instead of having different ways to do so, you can now have them all in one framework, which will make it easier for you as a developer because you don't need to make sure that all the things are merged and brought together at the same time. Instead, you can do it all from one framework. So every change you will make will be visible both on the backend and the frontend at the same time.
Okay. But there are cases where, of course, you want to have different software because it specializes more to your use case.
Mm-hmm.
So how would that work when you're using Next and you want to convert something like that to the API routes?
Yeah, so the idea behind the backend for frontend is that you have other APIs that do all the complex logic, and the backend for frontend is just for cleaning up your data, bringing it together, merging maybe multiple APIs, bringing them all together in one API so it can be consumed by your frontend. So if you have an API that needs specific things, maybe you want to import a lot of data, you want to process process files you import, then maybe you want to build that that backend is something like Go or something like Rust to make it more performant. But the backend for frontend is really just for that frontend.
So only data normalization?
Yeah, mostly. Or if you imagine you have an API in which your database is exposed from, and you're using a managed service to do your authentication, then the backend for frontend would be the best way to bring those two things together without having to do it from the frontend directly.
Yeah, okay. I've also had it called like the orchestration layer, or sometimes you'll see those names coming around.
Yeah,
as well.
So you see orchestration layer, API gateway, API mesh, data layer, there are like millions of words for it.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when it's just consumed by one frontend, you call it a backend for frontend.
All right.
So how does GraphQL come into play here?
Yeah, so GraphQL is something you can use in a backend for frontend in order to make it easier for the frontend developer to consume the data. And also, you have to build your backend frontend only once. So imagine you have different API calls you want to normalize in your backend for frontend, and one page is using a lot of these APIs, another page is using just a couple of these APIs. Then if you would use REST for your backend for frontend, you still need to make different REST endpoints within that backend for frontend. So with GraphQL, you can bring them all together and then have this GraphQL layer inside Next.js handle this for you, so you don't have to write different endpoints for every component or every page.
Is this something that comes up in your day-to-day job as well?
Yeah, definitely. So I work for a company called StepSend, which is a GraphQL as a service company. So we turn your database or a REST API into a GraphQL API. So usually that's the way I build GraphQL APIs. But before, I was building a lot of GraphQL APIs myself. And usually they were just consumed by one application. So I figured out how to do this. I was actually about to build a course around it. But then I figured out I didn't have the time for it.
So you were about to make a course, but there's no time. Would you mind telling a little bit about the idea of the course that you had in mind?
Yeah, so the course was specifically tailored to helping people building this sort of backend for frontend inside your Next.js application. Because what I see with a lot of frontend developers or full stack developers, they need to maintain two systems while they only have one client consuming it. So not only if you have backend for frontends, it can be interesting. Also, if you have very simple API, or a very simple application that takes maybe multiple SaaS APIs, bring them together, you can still build this sort of serverless GraphQL API inside your existing Next.js application.
All right. Those are interesting topics, this. I really like the idea how a BFF has sort of changed the way how we consume APIs over the years. Because I remember back in 2013, 2014, I had to build these very simple REST APIs, which would be directly consumed, but any change that you would make would break systems immediately because mm-hmm. there was no layer, intermediate layer that could handle these things for you or normalize that data. It's a nice thing that we've come so far, I think. It's something that, unfortunately, I have not yet been able to implement in my work yet mm-hmm. because my client is not ready for something like that yet. Mm-hmm. How would you go about convincing your client or your current employer or your project manager, whichever person this is, to start introducing a BFF?
Yeah, so there are multiple ways, I think. So it all begins with the backend team. So if the backend team is willing to make changes to the API that don't break other systems, I think that's the way to go. Just try and do it there. If the backend team is unwilling, or maybe there are no resources for the backend team, or which you also see a lot, the backend is maybe a legacy system that no one likes to touch or wants to touch, then the BFFs can be a great way. And the way I try to see it is try to get a proof of concept out there, because you can increase your page speed, you can increase the bundle size of your application. There are many performance optimizations you can do. So I think it's all about bringing these things together and then also showing your client or your manager or your boss how it will help the team in efficiency, because you have to no longer maintain two systems. Instead, you have one system. You have all the flexibility. So maybe if your designer or your product owner comes up with a new page that takes data from different sources, tries to, I don't know, maybe even reverse it. If you don't have a backend for frontend, you need to do all these things from the frontend, which will, in the end, will make your application slower.
All right. So imagine this situation where, so my client currently is the Amabe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice client to work for. We're currently using Apigee, which functions sort of like a BFF, but it's not a very transparent system. It's also not very easy to maintain. We don't have a CI/CD setup that is set up in such a way where we can actually develop the API gateway through code, but it's mostly in their interface. So imagine this would be a great use case to introduce a BFF, right? So what would be a great way to say, like, hey, this is a good way to sort of migrate to a BFF?
I think the thing is, the nice thing about API routes, you can already do it without your client knowing it, or at least it don't take any extra resources. So if you would go to your front-end application, you probably have already some functions that take different APIs, bring the data together, and maybe put them on a page. You can take this logic, put it on an API route, and you basically have your backend for frontend inside Next.js without the client even knowing or needing to do any architectural changes.
So it's a seamless change for them.
Yeah, actually it is, without them actually knowing and understanding. So you maybe score some extra points without doing something too fancy.
All right, fair enough. But the prerequisite would be we would have to use Next.js.
Yes.
In this case, yes. All right.
Because what's the API route specifically? Because I'm not familiar with that term of Next.js.
Yeah, so Next.js is a web framework. And the thing is, the pages of the routing is handled via the file system. So you would have a directory called pages, and every file you place in there, if you would name it hello.js, in example, it will be a page. And the thing they've done is they created a subdirectory, so you can create a subdirectory inside pages called API. And every file you put in there, instead of returning a component, you can just return JSON. So that's how easy it is to create an API with Next.js.
So you have the logic in there, the JavaScript logic, and in the end, you return a JSON object.
Yeah, so instead of returning a component, you just return a JSON object.
That's interesting.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, it's also from an architectural perspective quite a nice way to deal with these things, because it's very structured. You know where to find your API routes. You know what output is expected. So there's no room for error there in that sense. There's, of course, you can make many errors in your logic, but the output always has to be JSON.
Yeah, and the nice thing, if you're using TypeScript, it's all within the same model. So you can generate types from your backend to your frontend without having to do a lot of fancy stuff. Instead, you can just share the types through there instead of having to generate them or sending them over an API call.
I'm interested in the name of your talk, like the killing the BFFs, but it doesn't really sound like killing a BFF necessarily. It's
With Next and GraphQL. I'm going to make sure to add that. Provide a little bit of context, because I've been saying it wrong in the start of the interview.
Fair enough, but it's about killing. And now we're introducing or changing it.
So it's not really killing. Yeah, you no longer actually have the BFF. So instead, you've taken that architectural pattern and placed it inside your web client or your mobile client.
So it's like it removes the dependency on a second system that provides the BFF, because the BFF is provided inside the same code base, right?
Yeah, indeed. So if I might do this talk again, I might call it swallowing or eating your BFF. Maybe that's a better thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Like sucking it up.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe that would be a fun way to end this particular interview. We are going to swallow up the BFF the next time around. Rod, thank you so much for coming here today.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.